Welcome, Capital Raisers. On today's show, Kaylee Acevez joins me to talk shop about working with AJ Osborne to blow up and scale rapidly in the self-storage syndication space. We chat about the journey, legacy investing mindset, branding, conferences, abundance, and gratitude. Are you guys ready to raise? If you'd like to explore partnerships with me, talk shop on Capital Raising, or hire me as a coach, use the scheduling link in the show notes. With that, it's the Capital Raiser Show, episode 247, and it starts now. Rock and roll. I got Kaylee Acevez on the Capital Raiser Show. And she's looking good today. That's a great outfit. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, thanks, Ruben. So good. It's such an honor to be here on your show. I've been listening for over a year, and to be on this side of it is incredible. So thanks for having me.
That's fantastic. I want to dive into some of that stuff. So Capital Raiser Show Season 3, brought to you by PitchDex.com. Very excited to be working with Richard Wilson. And Kaylee hangs out with some pretty amazing people. People like Ken McElroy, that's insane. All right, so we're going to chat a little bit about some of the conferences. And my friend here is very into self-storage. Can you tell me about your journey into this crazy world called real estate syndication?
Yeah, so my self-storage background actually did not start in syndication. It started in being an administrative assistant. So my mom worked at a facility in a small town called Eagle, where I grew up. And they needed just administrative help. And so I started with normal administrative tasks, purging files, sweeping out storage units, doing the things that the managers weren't going to do. And unknown to me, I worked my way up through that single facility to a sister facility to a commercial property management company, all within the same company. And then we started doing third-party property management. So self-storage kind of had this evolution of owners, operators operating their own facilities, to having outside management, to having residential managers, to real estate investors getting into the industry, and in turn, not really knowing the business side of things. And so with our background, we actually had an advantage to where we knew how to operate it. And we knew these real estate investors were getting into the market. And so we reached out to them and we started managing for the real estate investors and doing third-party property management. And that was from about 2004 to about 2018, working our way up. So I got some experience with every single role within self-storage, from maintenance to administrative to managerial to managing storage condos and commercial property management and retail strip malls. So I really got to see this a very broad spectrum, not just self-storage, even though that was our niche, but across all different asset classes. So it was kind of unique. Fast forward a couple of years, we closed that company due to some life circumstances. And I moved to work for the parent company, which was a general contractor, which in turn, I decided it was time that maybe that wasn't for me. And I went to environmental engineering and consulting and did business development for them until the pandemic hit. And then the pandemic hit, and being business development, that's the first role to go. You don't have the cash flow supporting your role. I mean, minus the deals and stuff you're bringing to the table. But interestingly enough, when COVID hit and I got laid off, I reached out to all my contacts. Long story short, went to work for a company that built FBI gun ranges. And so I did that for a short while until AJ Osborne reached out to me, who was a friendly competitor in my market. So he and I would actually compare notes at the Idaho Self-Storage Association conferences about how many facilities do you own? And he'd ask me, how many facilities are you managing now? And anyways, he called me up out of the blue. It totally took me by surprise. And he said, hey, I'm doing this really cool thing in self-storage. And I know years ago, I tried to manage his facility. He tried to hire me. And at that time in our lives, it didn't match at the time, right? And so when this opportunity came up and he's like, hey, I want to bring in outside investors into self-storage. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the best thing ever. Because if I had a dollar for every time a renter would come in and say, man, I really wish that I could own and operate my own facility. This is just a cash cow. I'd be rich. And so when he said he wanted to bring in outside investors and invest alongside him, and I watched him pave this way, even in just the local Idaho market, let alone the Pacific Northwest and all the states that he had entered since, I was like, let's talk. I love storage. So let's get back into this and see what's going on. And here I am. And hello, syndications. I had no idea it was a thing. And I had no idea what I was going to get into, but it's been phenomenal. Best choice I ever made to get back into storage. And then to join this community is so fun and amazing.
Fascinating. Lots of stuff we could dissect there. So let me see if I got this correct. AJ had blown up his own self-storage business and he had not yet syndicated. And is that around the time that he met you and brought you on board with him?
So we actually met years prior when he was building his own personal portfolio. Mm-hmm. But when he reached out to me, that was prior to his first syndication. So he brought me on as investor relations. And that's when the first deal came in 2019. And here we are, having closed a handful of deals and just a small handful. He's got experience clear back 2004, just like I do, but he was on the investor side. And so as a really robust team that we've got here internally, everyone's got some really cool things to bring to the table that makes us very well-rounded.
So you guys had known each other for a while. And then when you guys partnered, put together your business, and you became investor relations, you had not yet syndicated anything. I'm just trying to get a sense of the timeline for the first syndication.
Not personally, and AJ, not business-wise.
No. Holy moly. Okay, yeah. So, 'cause you guys have grown your business significantly and you guys have done it together. I mean, obviously he was very successful in self-storage, but had never done a syndication. So what was the catalyst that made you want to get into syndication as a company, not just you or not just him, but together? Why did you guys go in that direction if you were already had success? Did you guys run out of friends and family capital or was it something else?
No, actually, AJ's got a really awesome why story. It's a kind of an unfortunate, but now that he's on this side of things, it's really a very empowering story. About 5 years ago, he came down with a syndrome called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And within a 24-hour time period, it paralyzed him from the neck down. And he was actually on life support. And it was really a scary time for him and his family. And he was an insurance broker at the time. And unfortunately, while he was recovering in the hospital, the insurance company fired him. And what saved him and his family financially was this self-storage portfolio that he and his father had started building together. And so this passive income sustained him through this really scary, traumatic time. And Tessa didn't have to go out and find a job. She was actually able to stay home with the kids and take care of AJ. And after he got out of the hospital and off of life support, mind you. So the why behind it is he really, truly is passionate about being able to provide somebody a conservative means of truly passive cash flow. And so building generational wealth and financial stability and something that doesn't require you to be working, but cash flowing. And that was the driving force behind it. So it's a really cool, passionate story to be a part of and to be like, oh, none of us think those things are going to happen to us. And so to have somebody so close to you actually have that happen to you, to them, it really makes you think like, man, I really need to start planning and I really need to start putting some things in place because you just never know.
Yeah. And then, so also I'm curious about this. Let's see if I get the timeline correct on this. I heard you say FBI gun range that you built, that you and I have chatted about this before, but prior to that, did I hear that you were in some sort of corporate America or corporate position and then you were displaced? Like they fired you because that was the first position that needed to go?
It was a very small, but corporate-like environmental company. And I love the guy that owns the company. He was actually a tenant of mine that he asked me to come work for him after being his property manager. Our number one client was actually in Las Vegas. And so if you can think back to pandemic times, first markets to get hit were touristy markets. So Las Vegas got hit hard and just certain circumstances really supported, like, he's like, I better really reel back. And he's like, I hate to do this, but you're going to be the first that I furlough. And it was just a furlough. However, I'm not one to just sit on the sidelines and go, okay, well, I'll just wait for my job to get back. So I reached out to all my contacts. I'm like, listen, I'm furloughed right now, but I have kids and I'm a single mom and I need to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to get back in working and in employment. And I actually had many opportunities and offerings. And I was building this relationship actually with TRS Range Services because I wanted to remediate their gun ranges that they were building. So we would do lead remediation and gun ranges. And mine the rubber bullet traps in the back of the gun ranges. And so it was just local relationships that you connect with. And the owner of TRS said, hey, come work for me and I'll take care of you. And very blessed that he did. And he took me on and very grateful for the opportunity and the friendship.
When that kind of stuff happens, though, like, I don't think that we look at those types of things and events as blessings. But wouldn't it have nice to have had some passive income when that displacement happened? Did that motivate you at all to get back into self-storage eventually once you left the FBI thing?
I've always loved self-storage. Self-storage was a no-brainer. Syndication and getting to learn about passive income part of it was just the icing on top. And yes, that circumstance, being a single mom with three kids, it just very much in a condensed amount of time really supported the need and the desire to be self-sustainable and not have to rely on anybody else besides myself to create not just income, but a legacy for myself and my kids.
Ooh, okay. So what kind of a legacy do you want to leave for your kids? Do you want to have them manage the self-storage and learn about the business so that they can leave it to their children and their children so that your great-grandkids still have a legacy? Tell me about this mindset.
I hope that they will always consider real estate investing, whether it's self-storage or not. The barrier to entry is non-discriminatory and that the opportunities are just through the roof. And so I hope that they always remember what I'm trying to teach them, but nonetheless, what the legacy I want them to be left with is to really do something you're passionate about and to go out there and do something that when you go to work, it's not work because you really truly enjoy it, which is what I'm doing right now. But if they can do that, then that's the true win. And hopefully I'll have created a legacy that requires them to work for it. It's not just going to be handed to them, but I want them to reach certain milestones, but also have a safety net so that they can go out and make risky decisions and go chase the passion W-2 income, or whether it's entrepreneurship, whatever it may be.
So on the real estate side, would you say hopefully that they preserve the capital, or are you more interested in them actually taking off with it and growing it? Just out of curiosity.
I would actually prefer that they take off with it and grow it. Money sitting in the bank is not doing anything for anyone. So take it and go do something with it. But hopefully they're investing in assets and not liabilities, although there is a balance there. So a little bit of the liability with a lot of the assets that pay for the liabilities. How about that?
Okay, cool. Tell me about the differences. I'm not sure. You mentioned a few different asset classes that you had, I think, invested in, or at least understood about and learned about. Can you tell me about the differences between self-storage syndicating and multifamily syndicating?
So multifamily, I actually don't have any experience. And the investors that I worked for, they did. And it was kind of funny because they went from multifamily over to self-storage and they said, never again, we don't want to do apartments. And so I got to learn firsthand from them that they were shying away from it and as to why. And it was just a lot of the high maintenance and the turnover and the repair and the after hour phone calls. And self-storage was just lower maintenance item, same kind of cash flow opportunity. So that's kind of my background. I had a little bit of additional experience in the commercial property management, where we manage a retail strip mall that actually has a concert hall in it, and it had a key place and a restaurant, and there was another property that had flex space. So we got to see the blending of storage and office retail. So that was a unique experience as well too. And got my feet wet in contract management and execution and holding people to those contracts, being the bad guy, unfortunately, but it definitely gives you room to grow. So lots of experience. Low level, I would say there was a lot experienced during a short amount of time. Enough to get myself into trouble. Just enough knowledge to...
No, it's cool. I love exploring new asset classes. I, at some point in the future, will definitely be investing in self-storage. I'm very focused on my specific niche right now, which is build-to-rent development, which is a crazy learning curve for me. However, here's some of the things that I've heard about self-storage syndication. So if you like syndicating and passive income, you don't need to deal with toilets, tenants, termites, or putting in baseboards. So you just have to manage. Oh my God, there's so many benefits to self-storage versus multifamily. And yes, I have seen the exact same trend, especially more recently since lending has kind of, the climate change has occurred and it's harder to find multifamily that's penciling. A lot of syndicators are moving into different sub niches of multifamily or leaving it all together and going to RV parks or self-storage or development like myself. Tell me more about the growing of the portfolio over the last couple of years, because you have really exploded your business. And I want to hear more about, like, how big is your portfolio and how big do you guys want to grow it?
Great question. So it changes so frequently, it's hard for me to really keep track, but we're at over $300 million in assets under management. And I think that equates to over 3,000 doors. The last couple of years since we started syndicating, I think our first raise was around $1.6 million, $1.8 million. And that was a single facility actually brought to us by one of our Inner Circle members from our self-storage income educational brand. And since then, it went from single facility to another facility to two facility portfolio to a development here in the local area to a conversion project, which AJ is really known for reimagining old spaces into self-storage. So he's known for converting Kmart buildings and whatnot, mm-hmm. old retail spaces into self-storage. We did our first $25 million fund, a value add fund. That was really exciting for us and our investors to get diversification, same sponsor, obviously, and the cash flowing opportunities over development. But we've just grown exponentially. The fund actually doubled our raise efforts historically that we did combined, and we knocked it out of the park, which was really fun to be leading that with my team and really conquering that one. We were getting ready to go after a 22 facility portfolio in Tennessee, but after getting into due diligence, we decided that it was not in our investors' best interest. There were a lot of things that we were discovering before the money went hard. There were some easement issues. There was some tax discrepancies that we had to hire third-party reports for that we just decided to walk away from. We were really like excited about that opportunity. It was going to be substantially a huge milestone for us. But it just didn't pencil out. And I think our investors actually appreciated the fact that we said we were really excited about this deal, but A, B, and C is why we walked away from it. And we value our investors, right? We want to be good stewards of everyone's money and time and efforts. And we just didn't feel that that was in alignment with our goals and our values and strategies. So, man, we've just exploded over the last 2 years and our acquisitions team is just killing it. And so we're developing our standard operating procedures in conjunction with active raises and learning and growing. And here we are, I think, gosh, we're like 8, 9 deals, 9-ish syndications. I'd have to look. Like I said, it changes frequently and we've got two in the pipeline and we've got more coming in left and right. So it's been pretty amazing.
Okay. That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the capital raising side. What have you learned over the last few years since you guys have built this syndication business? Do you guys have an investor avatar? Tell me about some of the things that you've learned along the way.
Yeah. So the investor avatar has been really difficult for me to really pinpoint because there's so many different kind of investors. And I know the value of identifying the avatar and going after those specific qualities that they carry. I would say our avatar might be the high net worth doctor that is looking for a passive income, maybe some retirement supplement income, somebody that's got some form of W-2 that can sustain them while they build their passive income portfolio. So understanding that it's going to take time to really build that up, but being that we're a long-term hold strategy, that once you start investing and you get your capital back with what we project in years 3 to 4 at refinance, that they would be happy enough with us that they reinvest that capital with us and they build upon that passive cash flow into the next deal and so on and so forth. And you can see how that would escalate and grow really quick. So somebody with a W-2, somebody that's looking to build a portfolio, and somebody with a little bit of patience, because we do things conservatively around here and we want to make sure that we're not giving distributions and then issuing capital calls. So we want to make sure that the last worst case scenario will ever be for our investors is a capital call, that we we really try and educate, nurture, and let them know that our distributions will be conservative, because that is our number one goal, to avoid is that capital call.
And then are you guys doing 506B or 506C?
506C. Yeah. With AJB and as a local and educating everyone, telling everyone really how they can go out there and do the themselves in the self-storage income brand, we have to do 506C. So yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So you mentioned one thing when we spoke last, which was that you at the office have listened to the Capital Raisers show together as a group. Is this true, or am I getting this wrong?
Similar. My mornings consist of listening to your podcast. My mornings are my education hours. And yeah, I'll be sitting there getting ready, listening to podcasts, and I start texting my team. And I'm like, hey, timestamp, like 14 minutes in, you need to listen to this. But honestly, Ruben, your podcast has been so important in my educating myself on syndications. I think I reached out to you on LinkedIn and told you, I'm like, oh my gosh, thanks for connecting, because you really have helped educate me on syndications. I know self-storage, but this whole syndication world is this new animal. And so the more you're going out there and you're realizing it exists, and you're kind of bringing from the subconscious to the conscious, that, oh my gosh, this is everywhere. And your tool, your show, your amazing guests has been not only entertaining, I love your energy, I love your positivity. The content is beyond, and it's just always dynamic. Oh, it's always changing, but still the same topic. It's just, yeah, win-win. And I tell everyone about it.
That's so cool. That's such an honor to be of service. And it's not even from that intent. A lot of it is selfish, right? Where I'm just trying to hang out and make new friends in the business and learn myself. And fortunately, the audience has resonated with the fact that I'm very curious and sometimes kind of funny, or at least I laugh a lot at the very minimum. So the number of people that reach out and say, you know, thank you for doing this show, I'm just like, my God, I'm just doing this so that I can hang out with people. And then thank God that you guys can learn from this too. And those messages, they're really important to me. I've gotten plenty of them on LinkedIn, but also when people leave me a review, that's so appreciated. So anybody in the audience, we would definitely love a review from you guys. Okay, so tell me a little bit about the self-storage income education brand. What are you doing with that?
So AJ's written a book. He's got the Investor's Guide to Growing Wealth in Self-Storage. He's got the industry for self-storage, industry's number one podcast. Great guests, nice. Great topics. It literally gives you everything that you would like to learn about and know about economies or automations or the technology coming into the space, the do's and the don'ts, the hard lessons, the funny stories that come along with self-storage. As long as you have the time, it gives you every tool and resource that you could possibly imagine or want for owning and operating your own self-storage facility. Connor Skeen and I, we have a spinoff podcast called Self-Storage Income for Managers. We haven't recorded an episode in about a year. Our podcast room was under construction and our office was under construction. And it's our goal to get back up and going. But really, that's tailored to the property management side of things and talking about things that you can do to, as a manager, to shine and run your facility well. In addition to that, we have an annual event that we host up in Coeur d'Alene, and beautiful up in North Idaho, but it's at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. And we all get together, whether it's Inner Circle or people that are familiar with the podcast, and we gather and we talk about self-storage. It really actually other asset classes as well, because they tend to cross paths. And so the more you can learn about maybe other asset classes or other real estate investors, the more we can learn and grow. So for instance, this last year, our keynote speaker was Ken McElroy. Our keynote the previous year was Brandon Turner of Bigger Pockets. We get really good speakers, and it's actually what sets us apart is that it's a really close, tight-knit networking environment. So you actually really get to talk to the keynote speakers, however long they stay there. Most of the times it's multiple days that they're there, and that you get to really actually have these valuable conversations with not just the keynote speakers or the speakers, but the attendees that are there as well. So it's a value-packed, condensed, really intimate networking event for self-storage owners.
About how many people usually go?
We've got it capped. So we don't really intend on it growing any bigger than around 300. So 300 is about our max because we want to keep that tight knit, good networking environment. So yeah, self-storage income, we also offer materials. So you can join the Inner Circle, which is a really cool collaborative environment. So we've got novices and we've got experts that have multiple facilities in their portfolio. And so as that community, they thrive and they are helping each other, whether it's through acquisitions or underwriting or understanding a deal, or maybe they have a problem tenant and they're like, how would you handle this? The value is tremendous. The people are even better. It's a really cool piece to be a part of. And really, it's really neat to have that alongside the syndication side. A lot of the people that come on the syndication side, they don't realize self-storage income exists. And so it's understanding where their knowledge base is and of who we are, I go into, depending on how much they want to hear, what self-storage income is, and that we actually teach people how to get into the industry, that we're sought out to help them.
And then the education that you guys provide, is it more full encompassing, or do you guys teach mostly the acquisition side, or is the capital raising side? Is it everything, like how to find these things? Because there's a lot less self-storage available in the country than there is multifamily, for example. So how would I even go and find a self-storage facility on the other side of the country? Is that something that you guys teach? What is it that you guys cover?
We cover pretty much every aspect. Capital raising, I would say, is going to be upcoming, but we do teach acquisitions. We teach how to find facilities. It's still a highly fragmented market. And so there are a lot of mom and pops that are still out there that don't exist on Google, or they don't have a website. So there's still lots of opportunities, although it is booming. People are finding out about it, wanting to get into it. But every aspect that you could imagine, we listen to our members. And so when they say like, hey, we really want to hear about this topic, we're like, this sounds great. Let's cover this in the next meetup. And so we'll cover pretty much anything that they want to know about.
Yeah, I would suggest to any type of syndicator, regardless of what you're trying to raise money for, whether it's RVs, development, campgrounds, all kinds of things, self-storage included, and the various multifamily asset sub niches. It's just a matter of educating and nurturing people on why whatever it is that you do, you like it, and then sharing that openly and with some love and some intention. And then also, of course, creating and establishing a nice brand, which obviously you guys have done. And of course, hanging out with some really successful people, which you guys have also done. So congrats and props to all of the stuff that you guys are doing. It's pretty insane.
Thank you. Yeah, we're pretty proud of what we do and we love what we do. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Fantastic. Let's dive into the lightning round. My first question to you is, what is the best vacation you've ever taken?
So I'll cover my best vacation as a kid, but hands down, Disney World. Best vacation as an adult, Cabo. So little best of both worlds, magical and then Mexico awesomeness.
I've been meaning to get back down to Cabo. The last time I was there was for the Millennium, and that was a crazy trip. So I'm sure it's very different these days. Favorite book of any kind?
The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Tell me the craziest thing that you've seen during your travels.
I'm not very worldly. Craziest thing. How about craziest thing in self-storage?
Sure.
So long story short, doing drive-through facility, I'm seeing blood clots throughout the facility, and it's dark, it's winter time. And I'm thinking the worst thing happened over the weekend, like domestic something in the facility. As I'm finding this horrific trickled out scene throughout the facility, blood smeared across storage unit doors. And after I call the police, come to find out it's hunting season in Idaho, and a wounded goose got shot and made a mess all over the facility. And I thought, worst case scenario.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. I'm sure that would have been kind of freaky to see the blood everywhere. All right. Especially around Halloween time. Anyways, can you tell me about a moment that changed the trajectory of your life?
By far, my divorce. And I come from an attitude of gratitude and couldn't be happier with the decisions that I've made and the progress that I've made.
Best way to raise capital from your perspective? Short answer on that.
Authentic, true, abundant mindset and goal alignment.
Do you have any hacks for breaking through limiting beliefs?
Positivity, always positivity and an attitude of gratitude.
Do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success in business?
Absolutely. 100%. Every aspect.
How so?
God, he's great. He's full of blessings. And even when we don't think they're blessings, once again, the attitude of gratitude. You were given that lesson for a reason. It's an opportunity to grow and learn.
Gratitude is fantastic for manifestation, you guys, too. Praying from a place of gratitude is the way that you attract things into your life. According to Wayne Dyer, just a thought on that. Archery, snowboarding, Amen. Fishing, hunting, and being outdoorsy. What do you love about being outdoorsy?
Oh, the fresh air, the reconnecting yourself with the environment, grounding yourself, everything. It's just freeing. You feel free.
My trademark question, have you ever experienced a miracle or had a near-death experience?
Every day is a miracle and every day is a near-death experience. Yes. My kids are a miracle. You're a miracle. I'm a miracle. This world is a miracle. The universe. It's, yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to Mama Delia, my mom, who had knee replacement surgery and then didn't get blood thinners. So she had a blood clot and almost died. And she pulled through and she is on the mend. And I'm so happy. I want to send a shout out and make sure that everybody that's listening, it would be fantastic if you sent my mother a little bit of love as she is healing. And I am so grateful that she is alive. When the doctor told me she could be dead, I was just like, I can't imagine life without my mother right now. What impact would you like to leave in the world?
To lead with positivity, genuine, and true connection.
Boom. Fantastic answers on the lightning round. Thank you so much for entertaining us on that part of the show. Shout out to the Capital Raiser Nation. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star written review. Shout out to Legacy Acquisitions and our sponsors, Good Egg Investment Syndication, Pro Apartment Educators, The Family Office Club, and PitchDecks.com. Go check out the CapitalRaiserShow.com to see what kind of offers you can get, including $1,000 off. Unless you want to pay full price, you know, feel free to go direct. Anyways, how does the audience get a hold of you, my friend?
Oh, you can get a hold of me at our website at www.cedarcreekwealth.com or my professional profile on LinkedIn. Of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, but you're going to see more my normal everyday to day life. So business-wise, LinkedIn's going to be the way to go or the website.
All right, cool. I want to cover a couple last topics. We have a little bit of time left over. I'm curious about the FBI gun range. What was that experience like for you? Were you shooting guns and participating in that kind of stuff and arms and anything like that for all of your life? Or was that just recent? Tell me more about shooting an arm.
So we do shoot lots of guns here in Idaho. I'm better at a bow and arrow. So I'm an archer over a gun. But the whole TRS range services thing, that wasn't necessarily shooting guns. That was construction. So construction management, managing teams and travel and stuff. So the administrative side, but it was really cool to be a part of supporting not just FBI either, police gun ranges, a lot of federal work, but yeah, we do like to shoot guns though. And we enjoy our outdoorsy archery competitive spirit.
From a husband perspective or boyfriend perspective, you can't want anything more than to have and be involved with a woman that loves being outdoors. That's just the fantastic thing and bonus for any guy. So that's great that you do that stuff. And I'm also curious about this because it would be fantastic to have you talk about this book that you want to write so that you can start putting out this seed into the universe that this is something that you want to create and manifest. Tell me about this book that you want to write.
Absolutely. So AJ and I are actually co-authoring a book. It's going to be about investor relations. It's going to cover not just an investor perspective, but it's going to cover the sponsor perspective. And we're considering a fund-to-fund or co-sponsor perspective and covering every step of the way and why they're important and really providing just high-level education. Okay, well, let's talk about the fee structure and why is the fee structure important? As an investor, obviously, you don't like the fee structure because it's money out of your pocket, right? But giving them insight as to why that sustains the company and actually makes the investment opportunity less risky for them is important. And as well as educating, for instance, the sponsor as to don't be ashamed of the fees that you're charging because that's really your lifeblood. That's what's going to keep you alive. That's going to keep your investor communication strong and clear and robust. If you're not paying yourself, you're not going to have incentive to make those communications really top notch. So giving perspective on every step and every three perspectives of each step and as to why they're important. I'm really excited to see what comes of it. We've already started co-authoring it. So it's being nice. Written right now. And hopefully we'll have something out within the next couple of months. But it's not just my department that's co-authoring a book. Our development department is, so is our acquisitions department. So there's actually going to be three books coming out, co-authored with nice. AJ, about what we've done with Cedar Creek Wealth, which is now rebranding to Cedar Creek Capital, but how we got to where we're at and some different perspectives to share along the way.
So if I want to get invited to one of your events or find out when your book comes out, how do I get onto your list?
Reach out to me. I would be more than happy to get you on a list. And Ruben, I think that we should have you as a speaker. I don't think we should just have you as a guest. You come speak and talk about capital raising and podcasting and the importance of getting branding, getting your name out there and structure, all of it.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. I accept for sure. So if you want to have me out to any of your events, that would be amazing. All right. So last words of wisdom for the aspiring capital raiser and or self-storage syndicator as they scale on their journey.
Be adaptable, be positive, and don't let those limiting beliefs get a hold of you because you're capable of greatness.
That is fantastic advice. I really love it.
Thank you.
All right, especially the positivity part. So with that, we're going to let you go. This has been a blast. You are a ton of fun to hang out with and your energy is just nonstop and you have this kind of shining aura and radiating light about you that I really enjoy. So it's been fantastic getting to know you over the last couple of months and it's been a real pleasure to interview you on the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Ruben. It truly is an honor. So thank you so much. I hope to connect soon.
The Capital Raiser Show.
Rock and roll.